Hello, folks, and welcome to the Master of Business podcast series.
Well, hello, Helen Stewart. Welcome to the Master of Business podcast. I'm delighted you can join us for this episode. You are Managing Director of Colwood Internet, and we're going to talk to you today about your career journey, but also a big focus on digital marketing more broadly and some of the major changes that you've seen in your career and some of the things that you might future gaze for us in this episode today and just have a little look to what might happen in the future. So delighted to have you on the podcast today, Helen.
Hi, Noel. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me on the episode.
So, Helen, let's start a little bit about talking about you, because you've got a fantastic, fascinating career history. So would you like to tell the listeners how it all began for you?
Yeah, of course. I actually started out at college doing engineering. So it was mainly manufacturing. And I started my career at a company called Catmex. They're based in Stockton and they produce parts for diggers and JCBs, basically. Right. I used to do the programming on the laser machines for the gas machines to cut out the parts, which then went through the production line and they went off up to Komatsu. So it was a very interesting, it was something I was really interested in. I loved engineering. I'm very sort of process minded. And I then became a production planner. So what I did, I managed all of the parts throughout the workshop through every secondary and third process, right up until delivery. Again, really enjoyed it. Loved the sort of the manufacturing side of it. And yeah, I just really, really liked it.
So you're engineering, and so, I mean, it sounds fascinating working in that context.
Yeah.
And then a shift from engineering into digital marketing in particular. How did that occur? Because they're quite opposite ends, aren't they, really?
They are completely opposite. I knew that I wanted to change. I was looking for something else. I'd been at sort of Catmex for around 3 to 4 years, and I felt that I couldn't really progress as well as I wanted to. So I actually moved to London because I have family down there. And the role that I started there was as a marketing executive to be trained. It was a bit of an apprenticeship, but not so much because I was still getting a full-time salary. And that's where it all started, at a company called Carve Consulting.
Wonderful. So, I mean, marketing is a really broad discipline, isn't it? It's a bit of a borrowed discipline, and people come to marketing from different subjects. If they're coming to study it, often we'll see people coming from the humanities, English, history, English literature, but engineering to marketing.
Yeah.
And really, what did you draw from your engineering practice and use in your marketing space and continue to use? Was there anything that you could draw from that?
Absolutely, yeah, because I was using sort of CAD/CAM. So I was sort of programming and sort of looking at how systems worked. And obviously the digital side and the digital sector, and that really interested me anyway, because going through school, I went to Macmillan College on Teesside.
Right.
And it was a very sort of futuristic college and school. So it was very computer led. So I was very, very aware of what was going on in the world in terms of marketing pretty much anyway. And especially in London at that time, it was a huge booming sector. So it was just something that attracted me straight away. And I was trained up for around 12 months. But back then, digital marketing, as you've just mentioned, was something as a whole because it was fairly new. So I trained on different areas, so pay-per-click, mainly advertising, really, and online advertising. So it was a bit of an all-round role. So I got a really good grasp of all parts of marketing, which I was very fortunate to get.
Excellent. So, and nice name check to your school there as well, Macmillan Academy. They are a feeder of Teesside University Business School. And we do have a good relationship with them. So I'm sure we will share this episode with the school because you've done so well.
Thank you.
It's brilliant. Absolutely great. So London and then back to the Northeast.
I got a bit homesick. I started coming home every weekend, pretty much, because I was missing my friends and family. So I just thought, well, there's no point staying in London. And I was looking for a role back up in the Northeast. And I then joined a company called Pearson's Advertising. So they did recruitment advertising for many businesses across Teesside and the UK, and they were just starting a digital arm of that as well. So I was probably one of three people on that team at the very beginning. So I helped with any sort of recruitment campaign. I would put a digital spin on it and introduce marketing, and we do microsites and small websites with different campaigns.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. And then obviously now you are Managing Director of Coalwood Internet. So yeah. Could you talk a little bit about Coalwood? Because it's a fascinating organisation and it's actually been around since 1999. So pretty much at the beginning of all of this digital.com boom that we
absolutely saw.
So can you just talk us a little bit about the company?
Yeah, I mean, the company's been around, like you say, for 21 years now. It's a fantastic team of sort of digital marketers. We have four separate services. So we provide pay-per-click, SEO, email marketing, and social management as well. Right. We have around 200 plus clients and predominantly working in the pay-per-click area at the moment, but we're actually pushing other services and promoting other services as well across the board for existing clients. But as you've mentioned, they've been around for quite some time, and it's just a really good opportunity. I joined only 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Wow.
There's lots of growth potential. It's a fantastic opportunity for me, and the team are just amazing. They're excellent at what they do. So I've spent the last 3 weeks or so just taking in, you know, each service, how it's currently working, you know, how we can improve, and looking at client happiness and how clients are finding the service and so on. But yeah, it's been really good so far.
Well, that's brilliant. And what a time to start a new role in the middle of this pandemic. How have you found the first 3 weeks, obviously in very different circumstances? Any particular challenges for you in sort of getting to grips with a new role as an MD?
Yeah, no, not at all. I think I've been fairly used to it since March, to be honest, and even in my previous role, Noel. So I think it's a very much the same. I think digital agencies in general are very fortunate that they can work from home very, very easily. So it doesn't really change things a huge amount if you need to be at home or in the office, as an example. And that's something that, you know, moving forward, I think there'll be a lot more of for a lot of companies, a bit of a hybrid role or even full working from home.
So in terms of marketing then, and digital marketing in particular,
yeah,
how has marketing changed in, you know, since you started in it?
Yeah.
In that discipline, and it's fascinating. I'm a marketer as well.
Yeah.
What are the major changes that you've seen over your career so far?
I mean, huge changes, major changes, especially in retail and e-commerce. And that's predominantly what sort of Coalwood client base is. It's changed in the way that obviously there's still the high street stores, there's still bricks and mortar, but it's huge online as well now. And I think there'll always be a place for the stores and for high street. There will always be a place for that. But again, it's just been a huge boom online across the board, I think.
Yeah. So just complete shift to digital. Whilst we've still got the bricks element of it, well, arguably we can have a conversation later on in this episode around the future of the high street and the bricks element of things. Yeah. But yeah, there is definitely been a big shift, hasn't there, to digital in a retail sector. And you've got some impressive clients as well, haven't you, as well? Do you want to talk us through some of your clients?
Yeah, we have quite a lot of quite high profile e-commerce clients. We have Hugh Rice, Jasmine Silk. There's quite a lot of different industries as well, which is really brilliant for the team, because the experience in different industries is obviously different sometimes. So it helps us grow and provide services to many industries, as an example, especially for e-commerce. We've just sort of launched the social media team, and we're growing that team at the moment, and we've got a lot of interest in that service as well, which has been fantastic for me coming in, you know, within 3 weeks, and it's really boomed on that side of things as well. But yeah, overall, I think client-wise, I mean, clients are amazing. The team are second to none, honestly. I mean, I've worked in the industry for 14, 15 years, and the, you know, the way the team work, how they really gel with each other. It's just a really nice environment. It's a really good company.
Well, that's good to hear. In terms of, you know, great that you're spanning lots of different sectors here. How do your team sort of how do they get to know a real, you know, different sectors? Because some sectors are more, I guess, you know, intuitive, aren't they, in terms of, you know them, so you know the motor industry, or you know, yes, you know the fast moving consumer good industry. But if you get something that's a little bit obscure, something more in a business to business vein, how do your team get to understand that?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, it's communication and it's listening to the client. The client obviously knows their business better than anybody else. It comes with experience as well. So it's being creative and thinking outside of the box for different ideas and campaigns that can be done. And again, the team are fantastic at that. And it's a very, very good, very, very good model for clients, I think.
Yeah. So in terms of, I mean, you're only 3 weeks in with Corewood. Yeah. You're already sort of waxing lyrical about the team. And you're talking, you said there about creativity and thinking outside the box. That probably links to the culture that's established within the organisation as well. How can you describe the culture of Corewood?
It's very much teamwork. And again, especially in marketing, you know, we have four services. And if those four services weren't working together, overall, as part of an omnichannel type, you know, offering, it just wouldn't work. So it's definitely a very, very important thing for a client. It's, you know, if they come on for more than one service, or, you know, even if they're just on for one, they have that opportunity of speaking to other marketeers in different areas. So yeah, it just gels really, really well, and I've seen that straight away joining the company.
Well, that's really good. Have you got any plans to sort of enhance that or further develop that?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. So it's we've got a sort of a 12-month plan already that we're looking at to grow. We'll be taking on more staff. We've already started that. We've had three roles up for vacancy since I've started. It is growing at a very, very fast rate. So it's exciting.
Well, that's really good, and so it links me on to the next theme then, and the importance of online and digital. Particularly in the context of the pandemic, which we're hopefully coming out of now, but it has been a challenge in 12 months, hasn't it? So can you talk me through, you know, your experience of that from a digital marketing perspective?
Yeah, I think right at the beginning of lockdown, I think there was a lot of panic. People worried about cash flow. They were worried about what they were spending on. And I think a lot of clients that I worked with sort of put the hold on everything and said, oh, yeah, we can't spend, we can't do this. But it's actually, it probably wasn't the best thing. And it took quite a while to convince clients that they still needed to do marketing, because they still need to get sales. You know, they still need to provide, you know, a service for clients. So that was quite challenging, especially for me, to sort of turn that around almost and make clients realise that, you know, they do still need to do marketing. But I think that the second lockdown and third lockdown, that hasn't happened so much. So I do think people and clients are realising that, you know, marketing is a massive element of any business, and you need to do the marketing to still, you know, drive inbound leads, you know, drive more sales. It's very, very important part of it.
Absolutely. And I really resonate something you've said there, that often at times, in times of crisis, in times when cash is law, the first thing that gets cut is the training budget, and then the marketing budget.
Absolutely.
And you have to invest to grow, don't you?
You do.
You must. And you've also arguably got to invest in new people to grow and develop, to be more agile.
Yeah.
You know, particularly, you know, the importance of people in organisations always been really, really incredibly important. But as we, you know, come out of this pandemic and we recover, people are going to become even more important, and their CPD is really important in that sense as well, because what I think we need to see is greater agility in individuals and their organisations.
Absolutely.
You know, to respond and adapt should anything like this happen again. But indeed, just to be responsive to the everyday business environment is so important, isn't it?
It is very important.
It's really, really important. Any sort of examples of excellent practice you've seen in the pandemic then, of organizations that then embraced the digital marketing agenda and either diversified their business model or grown it substantially?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of businesses have now realized that, you know, staff working from home is just as productive, or sometimes more productive, than actually being in the office. Especially for me, I think across the board, you know, I think sometimes people think you need to be in the office to be able to do your job. But at home, you know, you have a much more concentration level. You're not being interrupted. You know, it's way more structured. Your calls are structured. Your meetings are more structured. And often, I mean, even especially for me, you don't really switch off too much at home. I don't know whether you found that, Noel. You sort of, you know, you carry on after the 9 to 5 or before the 9 to 5.
You do.
So I think productivity levels wise, that's massively increased. And I think a lot of, especially local companies, have embraced that massively. And I've seen that across the board with clients as well. They've just said, look, this is what we have to do. We're now going to just crack on, work from home. And it's actually worked really, really well.
Really good. That's, I mean, that working at home example is a good example of increasing productivity in organisation. I mean, my personal work ethic is, I'll working at home and I'm online. I take breaks at tea time, you know, to with the kids and things. But once they've had their tea and settled, then I'll do a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then I'll move on to the dinner shift. And it's nice to be able to have that flexibility that you can finish a task off, you know, and to get like-minded people as well. I've got most of my colleagues, in fact, all of them have the same mindset as well.
Absolutely.
And we're getting things done, which is brilliant.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And it's everybody pulling together and supporting each other. I think what difficulty there may have been is, you know, the communication with staff. It's ensuring that, you know, every day you're speaking to staff, even if it's just a meetup on a morning, for example, or, you know, that teams are still speaking very, very frequently. And I think, obviously, I do love being in the office. I mean, for me, it's there's a buzz in the office when more people are in the office. I've noticed that more over the last week or so. But yeah, either or, I think moving forward, it has to be a bit of a hybrid sort of situation where if you need to work from home, you can. If you need to come into the office, you can. And the option's there for both.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you said just a minute ago as well about the importance of checking in with the team.
Yeah.
That's really important, is it? Because,
you
know, and it's not just about checking in about engagement. It's about checking in on well-being as well, isn't it? Because
absolutely.
We know that this dreadful situation that we're in has had an impact on a lot of people and their mental health, hasn't it? So it's important to do that. But that whole team inclusivity and identity, we've shown, a lot of organisations have shown that we can do it in a digital, remote context.
Definitely. And I think Zoom, Teams, it's become second nature for everybody, which has been... Absolutely. That's been a really fantastic element of, you know, the pandemic, because a lot of time before, people would think that they have to meet face to face. You know, you can put time aside for 2 or 3 hours to go for a meeting. Whereas if it's just on Teams or if it's a quick meetup, it's a lot more efficient.
I'd agree. The thing is, though, we've all upskilled our digital literacy, haven't we?
We have.
Well, the pandemic. So, you know, we were using Teams at the university, but we've really had to use it for everything now. So everyone has had to get on board with Teams really, really quickly. And so, you know, the pandemic, it's accelerated technology in a way, hasn't it? And our connection with it.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously in our industry, we are quite au fait with that side of things anyway, so we haven't seen much of a difference that way. But I think for a lot of other industries, especially maybe the engineering sector as well, that they haven't really used sort of the digital side of things as much as maybe to other private sector businesses. I'm sure that they've seen a huge shift.
What opportunities then, in terms of this acceleration of digital and, you know, great use of channels like Teams and Zoom. What opportunity is that for Coalwood? Is there an opportunity there to increase your international footprint of clients?
Absolutely. And we have started that already as well, as part of the strategy. Overall, we have clients all over the UK. We're not necessarily a local company, but internationally, it's, you know, the sky's the limit that way as well, because, you know, there's no difference in a client being in London, for example, to Germany or, you know, anywhere in Europe or the USA, for example. It would be the exact same service. So opportunities there are endless.
And of course, as well, on the back of that, potential threats and challenges from other agencies across the UK and beyond.
Yeah.
We're looking to encroach on your local territory as well. So
yeah,
sort of plans to sort of horizon scan that and yeah, look out for those things. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, because it is it's made us a smaller world, hasn't it, all of.
Absolutely. And the key is, you know, the service that you're providing as a company, it has to be the best possible service. You know, if clients are really happy and you're doing an excellent job for them and, you know, you're getting results for clients, you know, clients will stay. And retention is a huge part of what I'm about anywhere overall. You know, it's a massive part of this business as well. So we want to grow, but obviously still retain clients that we already have. So that's very important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Retention. And, you know, as a marketer myself, all of the digital things and all of the technologies that are sort of shifting marketing on all the time and making it, you know, making for a much better customer experience, increasing our reach, etc. The basic strategic principles of marketing that are over 100 years old,
yep,
never change. And that is the importance of having a good strategy,
yep,
knowing who your customers are, knowing what their value and developing the, you know, value proposition that resonates with them. But the importance of relationship marketing, building relationships is paramount. I tell my students this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to go back to basics. You can't just think, right, okay, well, let's just do a social media campaign. Let's just do a website and it'll be all right. You've got to go right back
and
why you're doing it and who you're doing it for.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And that you want to keep them because, you know, it costs far more, doesn't it, to acquire a new customer than just to retain a new one. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Good to hear that those old school principles never go away. The shiny front end technology is the bit that is developing.
Yeah. But
the principles and fundamentals of marketing.
Yeah,
and it is
forever changing. I mean, especially for various services, it changes constantly. So the teams are fantastic, you know, keeping abreast of what's going on, making sure that they're aware of new techniques or new ways of working. But again, that's something that needs to be constantly adapted and adapted to for clients as well to ensure that you continue to get really good results.
Which is brilliant. So, you know, you are the definition of market orientation then, in that sort of sense. You know what you said there, team are constantly looking out, looking for new things on the horizon, gathering that marketing intelligence, obviously, to give your clients the best possible service.
And
you know, because ultimately your clients are relying on you to help them generate, build their customer base and retain their customer base. So it's really important that you and your team obviously are at the forefront of that innovation.
Yes.
Digital marketing. Excellent. So let's move on then to the future. I said that I was going to get you to do a bit of crystal ball gazing. You know, what's the future for digital marketing? What's the future, for example, for retail?
Yeah. I mean, retail, especially in e-commerce, the huge factor has obviously been a massive shift due to the pandemic. And, you know, we've seen some, you know, really big high street companies, you know, either go into administration or be taken over. And having been taken over by quite forward thinking digital online e-commerce stores. So it is a massive, massive shift. I mean, I honestly don't know crystal ball wise exactly what will happen, but I do honestly feel that there is always a place for high street and always a place for bricks and mortar as well as online. But I just think as of, you know, the last year or so, that will massively overtake, you know, the high street, basically. And there will be more revenue and more sales and you know, products sold online than there ever have been.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the pandemic again has accelerated that. But at the weekend, I don't know whether you saw the news where Amazon have got their first ever grocery store. I think it's in Ealing in London. It's the first one in Europe. That's a bit of a hybrid for them, isn't it, I guess?
Massively, yeah, massively, definitely. Because I think overall, people do believe that will always be there, you know, regardless. It's just giving, you know, a consumer the option to do either. and giving them the option to do things in completely different ways and in an easier way to actually buy something or to look at something. And especially in e-commerce, I mean, you'll have noticed yourself, Noel, when you're shopping online, there's a lot more different ways of actually viewing a product or looking at a product. There's now, you know, the size fitters, and you know, you ask a few questions and it tells you what size you need to get. There's a lot happening, and it's making it much, much simpler and easier for consumers to buy.
Absolutely. And you can expand that as well, can't you, to the motor trade?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all click and collect now and things. It's fascinating. I've just recently swapped my car over, and it was, you know, I didn't have any contact with the dealer at all apart from, you know, emails and phone calls, and you know, they delivered it to me. But there's a particular brand, Virtu Motors, that they're really sort of embracing the whole digital.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating.
It is. And on the other side of Colwood, there's Colwood Automotive.
Right.
And we sort of work with RAC Tyres. We work with Asda Tyres. And we also have an individual website called eTyres.co.uk. And that's all online sales of tyres. So, again, that's something that has been going for quite some time alongside Colwood Internet. And it's doing extremely well online as well. So that's, again, another side of the business.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. But I think it's really interesting what you say about, you know, digital is going to overtake. But, you know, Amazon opening that store, so there's a physical presence as well, a bit of a hybrid.
Absolutely.
Let's meet in the middle here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be more brands like that
that will
try to do that, because I guess in some ways there's a social responsibility, isn't there, to protecting the high street in some way, shape or form. I mean, you don't want them to completely disappear, because people will come out of their houses again and want to have an experience. I know that my wife and I are desperate to go to York, for example, just to walk around and go in some of those lovely shops and
absolutely just,
you know, browse, spend a little bit of money, because that experience, experiential side, is difficult, isn't it, to sort of recreate in a digital context.
It is. And there's lots of sort of industries like that as well, in terms of, you know, if you're buying a new sofa, for example, you want to sit on the sofa, you want to see if it's comfortable, you know, there'll always be a place for that, Noel, I think. And I think there has to be for a consumer to be able to buy certain products or certain things, even when they know they can actually just get them online. They might be able to try them on, as if it's clothing, for example, send it back if it's no good. It's the convenience of being able to do that there and then buy it if you wanted to. So it's peaks and troughs, isn't it, really? It's both sides, but I think there is a place for both. Absolutely.
That's really good to hear. And so finally then, Helen, let's just talk a little bit about leadership. So, you know, you've been a leader for a long time. So how would you describe your leadership style?
I think I'm very much supportive and sort of, I'm not a dictator. I'm not a dictatorship type leadership style. It's support and encouragement for me. I've seen over the years many, many people that I've managed grow, you know, become managers themselves. I've helped them massively, and it's really rewarding for me to see somebody, you know, go from an apprentice, for example, right the way up to a senior manager, and knowing that I've had a part in that. It's all to do with their progression and, you know, where they see themselves in 2 to 5 years' time, and I want to help them get there. And obviously, that also helps the business, you know. The more you support your employees, the better they're going to serve your clients, the better that, you know, they're going to do for themselves and for the business. So overall, that's the way that I would describe my leadership style.
Very good. Very good. And any sort of particular challenges of leading people in a digital agency, you know, highly creative people, a lot of them?
I wouldn't say challenges. I think, especially the generation, because a lot of the people, especially at Colwood, are quite young. They're in the 20s and 30s. And I think it's a generational thing that, you know, they do want to work together. They do want to share ideas. They do want to bounce ideas off each other. And it's the actual wanting to do something really good for a client, and the results you get for clients and the rewards you get for that. It just gives you a huge buzz. It really does. And it's just ensuring that you know, you have the right team around you to be able to do that.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Yeah. Well, you know, it's been absolutely brilliant to talk to you today, Helen. It's, you know, some really, really great insights into your work, to the work at Colwood, the Future Gears in Peace. It's been great. And I think what I've taken from this is the importance of teamwork has come out very much in this episode.
Absolutely. Helen,
and your supportive and nurturing approach to leading others.
Yeah.
You know, that's what gets you the results. And of course, we mustn't forget that whilst we're in a highly digital world, those basic principles of marketing still fuel that wonderful innovation.
That's it.
We've got. Yeah, they do. So, Helen, wish you well with your new role at Colwood. Thank you so much for being part of the Master of Business today. And we will catch up very soon, hopefully. Take care.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Well, that's it for today's show, folks. If you've got any questions about the show, then please just email me at n.dennis@tees.ac.uk. If you're interested in finding out more about the business school, then please visit www.tees.ac.uk/business school. Really hope you've enjoyed today's show, and we'll be back next week for another episode of the Master of Business. Until then, take care and stay safe. Thank you. Bye-bye.